It's 8:15. Let's get started. Good evening, everybody, and thank you for coming to learn together a little bit this evening. So this is the From the Rabbi's Desk shiur. So what we do each week is we'll try to pick a couple of... All of you are familiar with this shiur, so you're all veterans. I don't need to explain how it works. So the two shilas this week are as follows. Shila number one. Rabbi Shai Shechter told me he was at a chasana last week, and the following event happened. The chasan took out the ring. The Masari Kedushin asked all the right questions. Did you buy this ring with your own money? Yes. Does it? Yes. The Aiden, does it look like it's for the Shavu Pruta? Yes. Rabbi Shai Shechter was one of the 8-day Kedushin, so he got a front row seat to this whole Maisa. The chasan then takes the ring, and the Kalev sticks out her index finger, her right index finger, as she is supposed to. And the chasan says to the Kalev, Hareyat Mekudesh Aslibet Tavazo Kedas Moshe Yisrael. He got the line exactly right. Everything was going perfectly. And then, as he was about to put the ring on the Kala's finger, he missed. He missed her finger. He, like, bounced it off of her fingertip, and it then bounced off of her dress and onto the floor somewhere. Where on the floor? Nobody knows. No one has any idea where the ring ended up. They were looking for it for a while. The Kala had this, you know, big dress, so it could have been under her dress. They asked her to, you know, maybe move aside so that they can find it, on, you know, if it was in the place that she was standing. You know, the Masari Kedushin was a little bit older, so he was not going to get down on his hands and knees and look for it, but Rabbi Shechter is younger, so he got down on his hands and knees. The mother of the Chasan or Kala took off her shoes to start feeling with her bare foot, because sometimes you could find jewelry that way. When you say ouch, then you've hit it. So, but to no avail. All of the tricks didn't work. They were unable to find the ring. So it came like close to 7, 8, 9 minutes later, and they realized they have not yet found the ring. So you got to do something. So what do you do? So they asked another married woman who was there, who had her own wedding ring on, if she wouldn't mind being makne the ring to the chasen. So they suggested kiddushei shtar. Oh, let's assume you could be makna the ring to the chasen. So this another woman who was there was makna the ring to the chasen. They were ready to do an actual Maisa Kiddushin. They had to do the Kiddushin all over again because they hadn't done the Maisa Kiddushin yet. The Chasan had not yet done a Maisa Kiddushin. So Rabbi Shechter asked the Masari Kiddushin, what do you think about another bracha? Meaning we said a Birchas Erisin beforehand, but now we've waited 7, 8, 9 minutes without anything going on. There was lots of schmoozing going on under the chuppah when all this was happening. The Masari Kiddushin was trying to keep things loose, so he was making jokes with the Chasan, with the Kala, with the Pe. Parents, you know, because you don't want people to get overly nervous and anxious, and you know, so you want to keep everybody cool and everybody happy. So he was schmoozing with them the entire time. So should we recite another Birchas Erisin? So the Masari Kedushin said, no, we're not going to recite another Birchas Erisin. But the Shaila is, did he get that right? Is that correct that you should not recite another Birchas Erisin in that case? So that is Shaila number one. Shaila number two is a shaila I got a few times this week already. It's been a very busy chasana couple of weeks. You know, a lot of chasanas in the past few weeks. I live right near the Sephardic Temple, which is on the Cedarhurst-North Woodmere border, so, you know, around there. So every night when I drive by the Sephardic Temple, there's another chasana going on there every single night because they have a nice outdoor area and a big tent in the back. So there's always chasanas going on. So, but the based on the I'm not sure exactly what the law is in New York right now, but what I do know is that people aren't having the amount of people that they normally, under pre-COVID circumstances, would have had at the wedding. But some people, instead of cutting down the guest list, came up with another etza, that they have shifts at the wedding, that they invite some people for the chuppah, they invite others for the first dance and the su'uda, and then they invite yet others for dessert. Second dance and dessert, and that way they're able to have three shifts. So if the number is, if the magic number of what you're allowed to have is 100, they do 100 three times or something like that. Obviously the family stays the entire time, but maybe they rotate out 50 people three times. But then when it comes time for Sheva Brachos, when it comes time for Shavu Brachos, not at the end of the wedding, but the whole week of Shavu Brachos, in order to recite Shavu Brachos throughout the week, you need Panim Chadashos. So people want to know, can I count as Panim Chadashos? I was there for the Chuppah, but not for the Seudah. I was there for the Seudah, but not for the Chuppah, nor the Shavu Brachos. Or I was there for the Shavu Brachos, but not for the Seudah or the Chuppah. So who gets to count as Panim Chadashos, if anybody, during the week of Shavu Brachos? That was Shaila number two. So both of these are wedding shailas that that happened recently. Is there a preference of which shaila we'd like to do? So let's, everyone vote. Let's see, we've got 1, 2, 2, 1. So far we have even vote. Ooh, 3, 2, 3, 3. Ooh, this is exciting. This is exciting. Which one are we going to choose? Okay, not everyone voted, but looks like I'm the tiebreaker. Ooh, it looks like Henry's the tiebreaker, not me. Unless it's, yeah, it's 4-3 to do the second one. Okay, so we want to do the second one. The reason I assume people want to do the second one is that it is, it's more lemaisa, right? Meaning, hopefully, it doesn't happen that often that there's a major hefsek in between the Birchas Erusin and the actual kiddushin. That shaila, just to mention very quickly about that shaila, about that first shaila, that shaila assumes, obviously, the way I phrased the shaila number one was that it's only really about whether you need a new bracha. The very beginning of the shaila is also an issue, meaning you have to make sure that a proper kinyan is done so that he owns the ring, that this is not something that it's like a wink-wink understanding that that she gets the ring back necessarily, and that he's only borrowing the ring, that it should be a real kinyan, that the ring belongs to him. I had such a similar shaila about the belonging of the ring, just I'll mention quickly. A chassam called me up 2 days before the wedding, before his own wedding, and he said that he had purchased a ring for his kala, but the only money he has on this in this world is in a joint bank account with him and his kala. He doesn't have a single penny to his name other than that. So he paid from a joint bank account that he and the kala have together for the ring. And then someone told him, the big question that they're going to ask you under the chuppah is not, do you take this woman to be your lawfully wedded? That we don't do that. They're gonna ask, did you buy this ring with your own money? So he said, uh-oh, I didn't. I bought it with our joint money. So someone gave him the eitzah to buy her out of the ring, meaning if half of the ring, if the ring costs $200 and her portion is $100, so to buy out her portion, to pay her $100, or by depositing $100 more into the account to pay for that half of the ring. But he doesn't have any money. So what's he going to do? So his father agreed to give him money to pay for that. His father gave him money, matana gemura, and he was supposed to put it in the account. Then he lost the money that his father gave him. So before he put it in the account, he lost the money. So now he doesn't know what to do because he lost the money. He cannot, out of the question, he said, I cannot go back to my father and say, I lost the money. Can you give me money again? Then I'm going to get a whole speech. Are you really ready to get married if you can't even hold on to $100 and you can't even get buying the ring straight? So he tried to do. So he didn't know what to do. He was stuck. First of all, is it even enough to replenish the account with half the price of the ring, or maybe the whole thing was no good? Maybe he has to replenish the account with the full price of the ring. Where does he get the money from? But assuming that there are full kinyanim done, it should not be a problem. I told him I'll send $100 over to his house. Just tell me where you live, and I'll give you the $100 matana gemura without any issue. But he felt, I think he felt embarrassed to take $100 from me. So I don't know what he ended up doing, but what do we have over here? Gabe, why not be Mekadesh with something he definitely owns, like his suit jacket or something? One of my friends once tried to do a kiddushin with a phone charger. Is that a true story, Gabe? Like under the chuppah, not like in a co-ed summer camp or something when he was 15. Like
something in between.
Something in between. Okay. Yeah, so the So the minig is we do with a ring. That's just the minig. Minig is we only do kiddushay shava kesef, kiddushay kesef with shava kesef and dafka a ring. And there are a lot of the achronim write a lot about why it is that the minig developed that it's dafka a ring that's used for kiddushin. But that is the practice. But we wanted to talk about the other shayla, so we're not going to talk about that shayla right now. So let's talk about the other shayla, the shayla about who counts for panim chadashos. So in order to answer that, we first have to see where panim chadashos comes from, what the idea of panim chadashos is, and then we can approach answering that question. So there is a Gemara in Maseches Ksubas and Daf Zayin Amud Beis, where the Gemara tells us that we're mevarchin birchas chasanim bebeis chasanim, that we say birchas chasanim in the beis chasanim kol shiva throughout the entire 7 days of Sheva Brachos. Amrav Yehuda v'hu shebo panim chadashos. That's only if panim chadashos are there. And then the Gemara says, "My mevarich, what brachas do we recite?" And it goes through all of the shever brachas. That's at the very end of Zayin Amud Beis, and then on Chesam and Aleph, it lists off all of the shever brachas that we recite. So the later on Chesam and Aleph, later on in the sugya, the Gemara tells us a story that Rav Ashi ikla lebei Rav Kahana, that Rav Ashi went to the house of Rav Kahana when there was a wedding. Yom Kama Baruch Kulu, and on the first day he said all the brachos. Mikan ve'elach yiko panim chadashos Baruch Kulu v'ilau afushi simcha bi'almahu mevarich shasimcha mona v'asher bara. If the first day he said all the brachos, afterwards it's only if there's panim chadashos they would say all the brachos. But if there aren't panim chadashos, then it's just a little bit of added simcha, but it's not really the full fledged sheva brachos. So you only say shasimcha b'mona. That's what the Gemara says. So the Rishonim and the Poskim discuss what it's also interesting. By the way, it says that Baruch Kulu sounds like he said all of the brachos, that one person said all of the brachos. That is not our practice anymore. Nowadays, the practice, at least in most Ashkenazi communities, is that we call up different people for the seven brachos, whether it be under the chuppah or even at a shever brachos meal. They just pass around the kos and everyone says another bracha. But that is really not necessary. We only do that in order to give more people an honor. But that's really not necessary. I was at a Sephardic wedding once where it was a very close Talmud of mine, and he asked me to be an aid kiddushin. So I said, absolutely. He said, I would want to give you a bracha, but the Masada kiddushin says all seven brachos. That's our practice. I thought an aid is a bigger honor than a bracha anyway. So I wasn't, you know, he trusted me with being a kosher witness. I know one Rosh Yeshiva, when one of my Talmudim told me, he asked a particular Rosh Yeshiva to read the ksuba under his chuppah. So he said, oh, okay, I get it. Second fiddle, huh? So, which is not the appropriate response when someone offers an honor. But anyway, so in our communities, we typically split it up just to give more people kibudim. Rav Shachli used to tell us that the Satmar Rav was not in favor of that practice. That in Europe, in Ashkenazi communities also, in Europe, they would have the town, the rabbi of the town would say all seven brachos. He would say them all. It wouldn't be his 11th grade rabbi and his 9th grade rabbi and his summertime rabbi and the Kala's rabbi and this, you know, they would just, and the uncle and the grand, they would just have with the Masara Kiddushin recite all of the brachos. That was the practice. And Rav Shachta told us Satmar Rav used to say that they even now started splitting up the first two brachos. So the first guy who gets a bracha only recites Bori Pri Agafen. So what kind of kibbut is that? They say, well, you could say that whenever you want. All you need is grape juice or wine, and you can recite your own. But obviously the kibbutz is that you're saying it in front of a crowd of people under a chuppah, and not just that you're able to say those words. But the Satmar Rav was upset by this, and he used to say that pretty soon they're going to have... they're going to call up two people, one to say Burich and the other one to say Ata. That he thought that they were splitting it up so much, they're going to split it up like that as well. But anyway, so the Gemara says we only say all seven brachos when it's Panim Chadashos. So the Rishonim and the Poskim discuss what is the nature of this Panim Chadashos. So Rashi writes, Panim Chadashos b'chol yom shelo hayu sham etmol. Panim Chadashos means, Rashi says a remarkable thing, shelo hayu sham etmol, that weren't there the day before. which implies, and a lot of the Achronim are medayik from Rashi, that they could have been there earlier on in the week during Shavuot Brachos, or even at the entire wedding. As long as it's not the first day of Shavuot Brachos after the wedding, and they missed a day of Shavuot Brachos, then it's okay. They're allowed to be, they're eligible to be Parum Chadosh again. So, for example, I was at a wedding on Wednesday, so on Thursday I was not at, I was not with the Chasan and Kala, so if tomorrow morning they want to get a minyan together and have a nice breakfast, and I could be Panim Chadashos, according to Rashi. Tosos writes, Panim Chadashos in Korei, Elo b'nei Adam, Shemarbim b'shvilam ha-simcha b'yoser. Panim Chadashos are only people that enhance the simcha. And Tosos writes, and that's why Shabbos is also called Panim Chadashos. We're making Shavuot Brachos this tomorrow night, Bez Hashem, in my backyard for my niece. My niece got married last night. So we're making Shavuot Brachos in my backyard, socially distanced, just family, whatever it's going to be, a total of 22 people, but among them there will be 10 men for a minyan. And my wife said, who's going to be the Panim Chadashos? So the answer is, nobody, right? Because it's tomorrow night, it's Friday night, it's Shabbos. So Shabbos does not require Panim Chadashos. So it says, based on the Medrash, Mizmer Shili Yom HaShabbos, Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Panim Chadashos Bo'u L'kan, Nomar Shira. So Asam Nami, Marbin L'Kavod HaShabbos, B'Simcha B'Suda. Just like when a special guest comes, you have a little more simcha and you bring out another dessert or another course. So too when Shabbos comes, we do all of that. So Shabbos serves as a Panim Chadashos. The impression you get from Tosfos is that the function of Panim Chadashos is to make it more festive. It's supposed to be the kind of person that gives the entire Maimid a certain festive atmosphere, that it brings about a better meal and a better mood during the meal. The Rush writes that Panim Chadashos shelo achlu ad ata afilu hayusham b'shas hachuba. Whoa, so now we have the first one to directly address our question. Says the Rush, Panim Chadashos are people who have not yet eaten until now with the Chasan and Kala, even though they attended the Chuppah. And then he says, V'nire delo mikri, Panim Chadashos el b'nei adam shemar b'shulam simcha yoser. But they also have to be people that enhance the simcha. So you see that he holds like Shita Satosos, that Panim Chadashos emanates from this sense of riboy simcha, but the Rush says that the koveya of riboy simcha is dependent on, did you participate in a su'uda yet? It's not, have the Chasan and Kala seen you? Did you participate in the wedding in any way? No, the koveya of Panim Chadashos, says the Rush, when do we assume that they're going to bring more simcha if they have not yet celebrated with the su'uda of the Chasan and Kala? Now the Rashba is a little more challenging to figure out what the Rashba is, because the Rashba writes, Pirush Panim Chadashos kol shalom ochal sham kol shivus yimei mishnah. Also, like the Rush, emphasizing achila, that they didn't eat there for the entire Shivas Yimei Mishnah. Sounds just like the Rush. But then the Rashba writes, Velo nichnas sham kol Yimei Mishnah, that he hasn't entered there throughout the Kol Yimei HaMishnah. Entered there, that sounds like it's not about the Su'udah, it's just about the Simcha of having been there. And even if he participated in any which way, it would be considered Panim Chadashos. And in fact, the Ramban is quoted by the Ran, Kol Shabbat Panim Chadashos Ba'omed Sham, Afal Pi She'eino Ochel Sham, Mevarchim Zayin Brachos. That and this you get a lot also. Sometimes they'll have people will be eating at a restaurant. They're having and there's a Shavuot Brachos going on in the restaurant. And then the Shavuot Brachos people realize they don't have Panim Chadashos, so they just call over to someone at the next table. Oh, we don't know you. You weren't at the wedding. Can you be our Panim Chadashos? Or a waiter, let's say. The waiter's not even eating anything. So can someone who didn't eat, can someone who was not eating serve as the Panim Chadashos? So the Ramban is quoted in the Ran that, yeah, Aval Pishayno Ochel Sham, you don't have to eat there. It's not about the Su'udah. It's about being Nichnas. It's about being present. And as long as you're present as part of the celebration, that is good enough. However, the Tosos Rid writes that Panim Chadashos is defined as Adam Shaloshama Es Habrachos, a person who has not heard the brachos. Tosos Rid is found on the side of the page in Maseches Ksuvos. It has to be someone who did not hear the brachos. And the Rambam says similarly. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Brachos, Perek Beis, Halacha Yud, Bracha Zu, Shemosifin, Bebeis Chasanim, Hi Bracha Achrona, Mishav Brach Shal Nisun, Bamed, Varam Amurim, Keshayu Ochlin, Hein Sha'amdu, Bebir Chas Nisun, Vishamua Brachos, Avalim Hayu Ochlin Acherim, Shalosh Shamu, Birchos Nisun, Vishas Nisun, Mevarchin Bishvila Nachar Berks Mazon, Sheva Brachos. That if it's not people who were there at the Chuppah who heard the Birchas Nisun, then they're eligible to be panim chadashos. So when you take into account all of the rishonim, the basic summary seems to be that there's a fundamental machlokas between Tosos and the Rambam about what panim chadashos is really all about. That Tosos says panim chadashos is about Riboy Simcha, that Riboy Simcha is Mechayev the Sheva Brachos. Whereas the Rambam and the Tos Ritz seem to assume that it's about people who have not yet heard the Bracha. And the Din of Panim Chadashos, it might be about Riboy Simcha, but what's Koveya the Riboy Simcha has to be someone who has not yet, they don't emphasize Riboy Simcha at all, but they say that it's about not having heard the Brachos yet. Even if you say that Panim Chadashos is about Riboy Simcha, what's Koveya the Riboy Simcha is subject to debate. Is Riboy Simcha not having been present at the Simcha at all, or not having participated in the Su'uda at all? So at the end of the day, three shitos in Rishonim. What disqualifies it, not counting Rashi's, just not having been there yesterday, three basic shitos in Rishonim. What disqualifies you from being a panim chadashos at a sheva brachos? Is it that you were not that you were not at the chuppah, that you did not walk into the wedding at all, or that you were not at the sheva brachos? Essentially, the three shifts each have a rishon that will say that they are disqualified, right? The three shifts that we described at many of these weddings will each have a rishon that will disqualify them from being panim chadashos. Lemaisa, all of these shitos are quoted in Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch in Evna Ezer, Simon Samach Beis, in Hilchos Kiddushin, in Si'iv Zayin, the Shulchan Aruch writes, Bamed Varam Amurim, when do we say that there aren't Sheva Brachos? That's only when it's the same people. Aval im hayua ochlim acherim shalosh shamu birchas nisuin. First Shulchan Aruch quotes, anyone who did not hear birchas nisuin counts as panim chadashos. Then the Shulchan Aruch says, v'yeshar m'shafilu hayu b'shas achub v'sham arbachus im lo ochlu sham adata mikri panim chadashos. Right, then he quotes the daya that you have to have eaten at the wedding, and if you haven't eaten at the wedding, then you're still called panim chadashos. And then the Rama writes, v'yeshar m'dim hayu sham panim chadashos afal b'she that even if they don't eat there, you're mivarech bishvam laila v'yom. They would count as panim chadashos if they're not eating at the sheva brachos meal, and presumably that means just their presence would count as panim chadashos, and therefore their presence previously would disqualify them from being panim chadashos again. So all three shitos are quoted in Shulchan Aruch. Now the explanation that's typically given for this machlokas in halacha, for this machlokas in among the Rishonim, is offered by the Stipler in Kehilas Yaakov. The Stipler has a comment in Kehilas Yaakov in Maseches Ksuvos in Simen Vav. He says, L'chora hayinira d'nechluku bazera b'seinu Rishonim, that he says, well, first let's say what the chakira is. He says, yesh lach kor bedin zeh. There is a chakira about panim chadashos. Im zeu chiyuva al kol hamesubin, o shezeu mipas chiyuva shel panim chadashos. Who's chayiv in the sheva brachos when there's panim chadashos? Is it everybody who's present at the wedding? Or is it the panim chadashos that are in fact chayiv? And he says, and I think this might be tali in another chakira. Is panim chadashos a function of the brachos? Because the panim chadashos have not yet heard the brachos, and therefore they have a chiyuv to say the brachos. Or is panim chadashos a function not of the brachos, but a function of the simchas hasu'uda, and therefore it has nothing to do with whether they heard the brachos? So the Stipler says, now we understand what these rishonim are arguing about. And he suggests that the shitas Rambam is that the Panim Chadashos is the Panim Chadashos themselves are the ones who are chayiv in the bracha, and it's a function of the brachos. They haven't heard the brachos yet. So Memela, when they're at the Sheva Brachos, they have a chiyuv to say the brachos. Whereas the Balei Atosos would understand, no, Panim Chadashos has got nothing to do with the brachos, it's got to do with the simcha of the Su'uda. And who gets the simcha from the Su'uda? Not just the Panim Chadashos. Panim Chadashos don't get that simcha. It's everybody else who now Chashva Panim Chadashos are here. So now we're elevated and we're going to celebrate differently. So it's everyone else that experiences that simcha sa'uda. So the chiyuv is on everybody else. It's not on the Panim Chadashos. And the Achronim point out that l'chora, there are many nafkaminas in these fundamental chakiras. Can an isha be Panim Chadashos? Can a katan be Panim Chadashos? Right? The if you hold that it's a chiyuv in the brachos themselves, so maybe not. But if it means it's a chiyuv on the panim chadashos themselves, certainly a katan is not a bar chiyuva. But if it's someone who brings simcha, so sometimes a katan brings the most simcha. You have the wedding I was at last night. Everyone was happy the entire time. It was a very joyous wedding. And but the most smiles I saw on people's faces was when a little girl was walking down the aisle throwing whatever rose petals, and she ran out of the rose petals halfway down the aisle, so she just stopped because she ran out. So what else is she going to do? So she stopped, so she just stayed there. So everyone that brought such great simcha to people. Cute children, they bring so much simcha, but they can't have a chiyuv, so that would be a nafkamina in that chakira. Or Panim Chadashos on Shabbos and Yantav. If it's about enhanced simcha, so then Shabbos and Yantav also enhance your simcha. But if it's about a chiyuv to recite the brachos for those who have not yet recited them, well then you need Panim Chadashos. You can't just have Shabbos and Yantav substitute as Panim Chadashos. Shabbos and Yantav aren't chayiv in anything. Another nafkamina might be, what if the Panim Chadashos themselves are deaf? Right? And do they have to recite the brachos? Right? If it's their chiyuv, they can't be yotze shamei ka'ona by listening to other people recite the brachos. Then they would have to recite the brachos. But if it's everybody's chiyuv, and they just are the hechitimtze to make that chiyuv, to trigger that chiyuv, then other people can recite the bracha, and it's perfectly fine. But perhaps the primary nafkamina is our nafkamina. Who counts? Who can count as Panim Chadashos based on who is there at the is it based on who is there at the chuppah, based on who is there at the wedding, at the celebration, or based on who is there at the Sheva Brachos? Like we mentioned, the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah between them quote all three deos. I think the common practice is to try to be machmir for all three deos and to make it that the Panim Chadashos should be someone who was not at any of those things. And that's the person who should be Panim Chadashos. So you try to find someone who was not invited to any part of the wedding or was not able to attend any part of the wedding, and also is Mar B'Simcha, which is sometimes a tricky thing, right? Certainly in pre-corona weddings, where you invite all your 500 nearest and dearest friends, and anyone who didn't make the cut is someone that, you really are not particularly interested in necessarily. So they don't necessarily add simcha. So nowadays it's a little bit easier because with the corona weddings, they have to make the cut at a little bit of an earlier point. So maybe there are more potential Panim Chadashos out there. But that's what we suggest. Now, there's a big misconception. I shouldn't say it's a misconception because there is one daya in Poskim like this, but we don't Poskim this way, that you need two Panim Chadashos because it says plural, Panim Chadashos, but instead of Pan Chadash or something. So, but we don't assume that way. We assume that you only need one person to serve as Panim Chadashos. The brother of the Taz held that you need 10, Gabe writes. Yeah. So, okay. To quickly answer the other Shaila, is also Talui and Lechora, a very famous Chakira. The Chakira is whether the Birchas Erisin is a Birchas Shevach V'Hoda'a or a Birchas HaMitzvah. If it's a Birchas Shevach V'Hoda'a, so then you don't need A hefsek's not going to ruin it between the asiyas mitzvah and the bracha, because the bracha is not about the mitzvah. The bracha in a maimed of the chuppah, when they're standing there, it makes sense to be meshabeach HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But if it's a birchas ha-mitzvah, so then l'chora you cannot have a hefsek between the bracha and the mitzvah. Then you just have to discuss what's called a hefsek, right? Is this called a hefsek? Now it happens to be that in Shulchan Aruch it's not abundantly clear whether we assume it's a birchas shevach v'odah or a birchas ha-mitzvah, or a birchas ha-mitzvah, although the Shulchan Aruch sounds like it's more a birchas shevach v'odah, because the Shulchan Aruch says that if you don't recite the birchas erusin before the erusin, you can still recite it after the erusin. And birchas ha-mitzvah, we don't assume that way, usually. But by birchas shevach v'odah, that would make sense. But at the very least, it seems that it's a suffik. And the halacha would be, suffik brachos lahakel. Generally speaking, you'd assume Safik Brachos Lakel. Aside from that, the Masada Kiddushin taina that there was no hefsek. He said the entire time we were osek in Inyane Kiddushin. Rabbi Shachter said to him, but you were joking around the whole time. He said, that was also Inyane Kiddushin. You have to, in order to keep the Chasan and Kala loose, to keep them happy, to keep them... That was also part of the matters of Kiddushin. That was not a hefsek either. So even if it is a Birchas HaMitzvah, it wasn't a hefsek. It happens to be, Marein Rabbeinu Rav Shachter Shlita is makbid, that when he's Masadar Kiddushin, a lot of times, you know, it's the Masadar Kiddushin's job to make sure that the Edim aren't related to each other, they're not related to the Chasan and Kala, that they're basic Kasher Edim, and to ask in front of the Kala if the ring is worth a Shavapruta, and to have the Chasan take out the ring, and to ask him if he bought it. We have like this whole conversation. So many Masadar Kiddushins will say the Birch Sarasin first, right? The Baruch Pri Hagavan and the Birch Sarasin. Chasan and Kala will take a sip, and then it'll start that whole process of calling up the Edim and asking the Chassan about the ring and doing that whole thing. Rav Shechter's makbid to do it the other way. To have that whole conversation first. That conversation doesn't have to happen after the bracha. You want to minimize the hefsek between the bracha and the Maisa Kiddushin as best you can. So as soon as the Birchas Erusin is recited, then you'll be, and they take a quick sip of the wine, then you'll be able to move right into the actual Maisa Kiddushin. That's how Rav Shechter generally is makbid to do. So that's so l'chora the pasha should be suffering brachos lahakel. However, Rabbi Shai Shechter told me that his father Moren Rabbeinu Rav Shechter Shlita thought that they should recite another birchas erusin in that case. I do not understand why. I didn't have a chance to ask him, but apparently he felt that they should recite that it's a hefsek, and I guess that the ikar adin is that it's a birchas mitzvah. So he thought that they should recite another birchas erusin. It happens to be, the poskim do say explicitly that if you vadai have a hefsek, then you should recite another birchas erusin. So I guess the poskim do not assume that, whatever. Okay, well, we chose not to discuss this, Shailen. I'm ready over time, so we'll stop there. But there's a lot more to say about that sugya as well. Okay, everyone, thanks for coming. Have a wonderful Shabbos, a wonderful night. Gabe,